for example, and controls. And I would just like to say, I think we've talked about this in the standing committee, but we're in this process of a transformation currently on the statement of internal controls. You know, I think that many UN organizations have already adopted the statement of internal controls. We're looking at this ourselves, which has five key components. It's a control environment. It includes risk assessment, control activities, monitoring, and information and communication. Right now, we're at the risk assessment stage, particularly with the controller and his strong team. We're looking at how we actually embed this now as part of a reinforced internal control framework. And so I would expect that we would continue to come back and update you and in the standing committee, but also in this forum as well. There were questions also asked about cash. In terms of, and this also came up in standing committee a couple of weeks ago, well, the overall quantity of our support through cash-based interventions from last year to this have dropped, and there are a few factors for that, including some of the bigger operations in the Middle East, for example, but also in South Asia. The number of countries that we are now implementing cash-based interventions has gone up quite substantially. We're now in 106 of the 128 countries in which we operate. There's a CBI component, and we rolled out CBI this year to Greece, Rwanda, Somalia, Ethiopia, and Mexico. So quantity is at a lower level, but the spread in terms of CBI is substantially increased from last year. So we can provide more information to you separately if you like. The distinguished delegate from Japan asked about how the change process would roll out in terms of regionalization and decentralization, and I just want to reiterate what the High Commissioner said in his statement on Monday, which is we are now in the design phase. So some of the decisions in terms of what these regional platforms will look like, where they will be located, and so on, has not yet been decided. So in response to the suggestion from our colleague from the United Kingdom, we would propose to come back and continue to update you regularly as we proceed through particularly this next three-month critical stage, which is going to come up with a blueprint of what this looks like. It won't all happen at once, and it will be gradual over a period of time. So right now we don't have the answers to those questions, but we'll come back to you. The distinguished delegate from Germany, in addition to the very important statement about funding for our operations in Africa, had asked in particular about budget implications about the Global Compact on Refugees. I know this has been an issue as part of the formal consultations process related to the program of action and the like and so on. And I think we also talked about this as well in the standing committee. We need to keep the discussion going. We don't have a good answer for you yet. In many ways, this is a transformation of the organization. This is not about a lot of additional support that will be needed or capacity within the organization. There has been substantial support provided through the Comprehensive Refugee Response Framework to those 15 case situations, for example, but that is not necessarily what's intended to go forward once the Global Compact on Refugees is adopted necessarily. We would be transforming our operations in a different way, as has been outlined by both the High Commissioner and the Assistant High Commissioner for Protection. So we'll keep you updated in terms of that. And thank you very much for the secondment of a legal officer to our IG's office. I actually wasn't aware of that, but the support's appreciated, and if others would like to join you, that would be great. So with that, Madam Chair, thank you very much.